to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me in the warm, beautiful Santa Clarita Valley is our equally beautiful co-host, Bobby Jean Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Gary, and welcome to Campfire Cafe. You got your coffee?
I have my regular two cups right here on the desk, so we're good to go. We are good to go. But,
well, I'm pulling up my chair to the campfire, and I've got mine on ice again today.
Well, you know, we're 63 degrees back here in Nashville, and it's a little taste of fall. So it feels good. It feels good. But folks are ready to sit back with their big cup of coffee. Going to be a fun show. Why don't you tell us who we have joining us for the Campfire Cafe today?
We have with us a gentleman that has an amazing story, an incredible voice, who has is a singer, songwriter, performer, a man of many talents. Royal Wade Kimes is joining us in just a moment.
All right, so it's going to be fun talking with Royal Wade, and there's some big events that he's got going on this weekend, too, that we'll talk about, but we'll get back to that in just a moment. The Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So you grab your big cup of coffee, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Royal Wade Kimes. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Well, I rode everything down in Dublin. Then I heard about a bull in Stephenville. They said he ain't been rode to me, that's trouble. So I hurried on out to see what's the big deal. He's big, bad, black, and branded rank. He can dig a well and make a cowboy drink. Yeah, Murray said he ain't bucked the same way twice. And he called him the Stephenville Heist. Ready. When he left the chute, I thought he left Stephenville. A 2-second ride is all they gave me. And the judge said, son, you ain't that big a deal. He's big, bad, black, and branded rank. He can dig a well and make a cowboy drink. Yeah, Murray said he ain't bucked the same way twice, and we call him the Stephenville Heist. We call him the Stephenville Heist.
Royal Wade Kimes, Stephenville Heist, from his CD Shadows of Times. And Bobby Jean, are you ready for this introduction?
Of course.
All right, here we go.
Today's guest, Royal Wade Kimes, a descendant of Ozark Mountain bank robbers, was born a cowboy riding the rugged mountain range on the border of Arkansas and Oklahoma. The range was closed, and he left for Nashville. Kimes started out as a songwriter. His endeavors garnered platinum and gold records for the likes of Garth Brooks, Diamond Rio, Gene Watson, and others. Now a nationally known recording artist, he continues to write and perform songs that speak directly to the heart. George Pedden, writing for Country Music Online, says, Kimes writes with a keen honesty and a sharp ability to paint and share lyrics of hurt and heartache, spirited horses and lonely trails, crooked bad guys and white hats that save the day. His style is passionate, caring, and focused. He's a long hauler, one who loves the journey more than the destination. Kimes' discography includes 12 CD projects, including his newest, Shadows of Time. He's been honored by the Academy of Western Artists with 2 Will Rogers Awards, and True Magazine named him 2011's Best Living Western Solo Musician. With a voice as smooth as Kentucky bourbon, lyrics that tell stories, paint pictures, and honor our nation's history, Royal Wade Kimes shares his passion for life and love through his books, videos, and music. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe, the Gentleman Outlaw, Royal Wade Kimes.
Dadgummit, I'm impressed.
I think I am too.
good.
After all that, I may be too.
Oh wow. Well, good morning, sir. How
you guys doing?
Great.
Well, I'm doing great. I hope you all are.
Yes, sir. Hey.
Well, we've been looking forward to having you on the show for quite a long time, Royal Wade. Welcome.
Well, it's good to be here. I'm going to enjoy this.
It'll be a fun show. Hey, we're going to talk about a big event that you've got going on just a little bit later in the show. But tell us a little bit about your roots. I mean, you grew up in the Arkansas, Oklahoma area, and actually cowboyed a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I grew up in the Arkansas, Oklahoma border country. It was Badland country, outlaws, and that kind of thing. It was outlaws when I grew up. I mean, they started in Judge Parker days and before, but, you know, Cookson Hills and then back towards the Arkansas border and where I'm from, it was outlaws. Even, you know, my own bunch was outlaws. They ran with Maul Barker and different ones and you know, like George Matthew Kimes and then Roy, and they all were notorious outlaws. And then I come along and we had open range here, and so I had quite a chore. I had hundreds of cattle that were out across the range, and my job was to keep them on the Arkansas side of things and in a certain mileage point. And this is rugged, badland country, so you can imagine what that's like. And so I did that as a kid from the time I was about 12 years old, until I left and went to Nashville, and they closed the range down, and we left out here. But, yeah, I rodeoed. I rode the range. I was the last generation to do that. And I had 2 good brush horses I rode, and then I rodeoed some. I thought I was going to be a bull rider and found out real quick I wasn't. I was a fair little roper, you know. I could handle rope pretty good, but when it came to roping steers, I guess I kind of stopped right there, because not that I couldn't do it. I'd done it a few times, but I played guitar, and I didn't want to lose a thumb or a finger dallying, and that can happen. I've seen them world champions do that, and so I kind of laid off of that. But, yeah, I've had some really good horses over the years, and right now I probably got the best horse in my whole lifetime. I mean, I got a dandy. It's a stud. In fact, her granddaddy was Chocolate Chip. He just died the other day, and a stud horse out of Iowa, and he bred a lot of horses with a lot of sense. And then I had, on the other side, she's a Zippo Pine Bar Zip in the Wind mare, so really got a good horse. I mean, she's just full of sense because she's smarter than I am.
Well, when did music come into your life? When did you start performing, picking, singing?
When I was 4 years old, I had a cousin that came out of prison, and he was sitting on 2 concrete blocks under a yellow light bulb at the back of our house. That's how things was back then. It's back in the kind of poor, you know, and he was playing an old guitar there, and I remember sitting in front of him on the ground, and I thought, boy, if I ever get big enough, I'm going to play guitar. And then when I turned 15, I worked at a sawmill all summer and got enough money to buy me a Stella, which was a little cheap guitar, hard to fret. But I stayed with it and kind of got to fret, you know, courting, and then got serious with it about 18, really got serious. And I thought, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this for the real reason, you know, what you're supposed to do it for and get after it. And then when I got a little older, I stayed with my dad to help him for a long time out here in these mountains and his cattle and all the stuff we were doing because I was the only boy. But I wanted to go to Nashville before I did, but I finally decided, you know, I got to go. When that range closed down, I knew I was going. And I started to write these songs and thought I had something and went to Nashville to find out, you know.
All right. Well, I want to talk more about what happened when you got to Nashville and maybe one of the guys that was the biggest influence in your musical career. But before we do that, we're going to play a lot of your music today, Royal Wade.
All right.
And the next one we want to do is one called 8 Second Time. You want to tell us anything about
this song? You betcha I can. That song's about T.J. Brown. T.J. Brown was a pretty famous bronc rider in Fort Smith, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, part of Texas area. I mean, he got real famous. The Ward Stock Company used to put on a lot of rodeos, still do, put on a lot of rodeos, and he was one of the top riders in that circuit. And when I was a little old kid, if I heard him call T.J. Brown's name, I climbed up on the fence. I was going to watch that. I wasn't missing it. He was a wiry little cowboy, and, I mean, he could hang. And I got to see him ride a horse that I didn't think anybody could ride, including him, called the Mulberry Queen. And she'd get about 10 foot high, stiff-legged, come down hard, and he rode her. And I'll never forget that. And you talk about a crowd, and the song talks about they come from miles, they come from everywhere. And they come that night from everywhere. I mean, you couldn't find a parking place to watch him ride that one horse. They didn't care about the rodeo. They wanted to see him ride that horse.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And he wrote it. So I wrote a song about him, and we give an award away at my trail ride called The Cowboy Rides. And the first one to get it 10 years ago was T.J. Brown.
Oh, wow.
And then he passed away. He passed away 3 years later. And this particular award this year on our 10th anniversary for the trail ride, his daughter is going to give away the award.
Oh, how cool. How cool. Well, let's listen to the song and come back and talk more with Royal Wade Kimes on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Town out on 59 that claims a cowboy on 8 Second Time. As years passed by, he made a name riding outlaw broncs. He earned his fame. Folks would come miles around to watch this cowboy, T.J. Brown. He'd give them a show, tell a whistle blow, kept the cowboy alive on 8 Second Time. Tonight somewhere they'll open a gate at some young cowboy. We'll try for 8. All began out on 59 when he watched old T.J. on 8 Second Time. And folks would come from miles around to watch this cowboy, T.J. Brown. Give them a show, till the whistle blows. Kept the cowboy alive on 82nd time. Kept the cowboy alive on 82nd time.
That impresses me with a lot of the artists is that they're the real deal. I mean, they've actually lived this stuff that they write about, and you do, don't you?
Yeah, I pretty much am what I write, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of living involved in that.
Yeah. Well, so you packed up and made the decision to come to Nashville, Tennessee, Music City. Was that a scary proposition or an exciting one or both?
Both. It scared to death and excited at the same time. And then when you get there, everybody tells you how good you are. And the next guy stands up there and plays after you do, and if he is good, you ain't, because they just told him how good he was. And so then you're really messed up. You don't know if you got anything going or not. I went along like that for about a year and a half. It was tough, you know. I was even sleeping in my truck. It was just really tough times and hard, but I was determined. And me being a cowboy, I slept in my truck before, so I kind of knew where the, you know, how things work and what you could do. So I stayed in the high rent district when I slept in my truck at night. I ran on to Mr. Eddie Arnold, the Tennessee Plowboy, right out on the street. And he's the guy who we just took to each other. And, of course, who wouldn't take to Eddie Arnold? He was a gentleman, a class act, and just a wonderful man. And, I mean, he was just something. I spent 20 years with him learning my craft. And, you know, I said to him, I said, you know, Mr. Arnold, I said, this is the first day we met. I said, I'd like to talk to you sometime. I said, I don't want anything. I just need you to tell me. I just need you to tell me something. I don't want nothing other than that. And so he said, asked me to come down after Christmas, and I did. And so he played this little raggedy tape for me that I had. I was kind of embarrassed for him to listen to it, but he did. And he looked over at me and he said, who's singing? And I said, that's me. And he picked up the phone and he called another legend by the name of Jerry Typher, who's now also gone. He's a guy that worked with Wesley Rose and those guys who made Hank Williams.
Right.
I mean, they made Hank Williams, trust me on that. You know, Hank was good, but Wesley Rose and those guys, they had a big hand in those songs being what they were before they came out. And Jerry was part of that deal. He was something else. I'll never forget what he said when Eddie sent me down there to see him. He said, he listened to the song, he said, you go back and you tell Eddie that he and I are going to work on your dream and for you to work on reality. And I'm heading back up the road, go back and see Eddie, and I'm thinking, well, I just met the two biggest men in Nashville, and I don't even know what reality is anymore. So anyway, but Eddie started working with me, and I started writing songs first, and he's so proud of me because I started to have them hits, you know, 17 million seller on Garth and then Diamond Rio Gold Records. And he's just thrilled to death. And I keep bringing him demos I was cutting on other at studios. All I wanted to tell me was, did I have it? Once he didn't tell me, did I have it? He started working with me and started helping me, so which basically told me. But anyway, it's almost, I'd say, right at 10 years before he gave me the nod that I was ready vocally and the way I would approach the song and all that. And what I learned from that was this, because he told his secretary, I found out about 12, 15 years later, he told her the day I left there, that first meeting, he said, that old boy's got it. Well, he didn't tell me that. But what I learned from that, by him not letting me go, you know, start recording for 10 years after I was already there, was that he didn't want me to just be good enough. He wanted me to be better than good enough. he said to me one time, he said, the guy that's in the lead, the one that's got the different view every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted me to be in the lead. And he basically, when I walk out there on that stage, I didn't have to walk out there, be afraid to walk behind anybody or worry about who was coming in behind me, if I was opening or if I was the act. And I got to tell you, it worked out that way. I don't worry about anyone that I open for or anyone that's coming in behind me. I don't worry about it because I know what he put in me. And he said, you're either born with it or you're not. And you are. I've seen it a thousand times, people who come to Nashville, and I can tell you, if you're not born with a sound and with the reflection in your voice, with what God's going to put in, he'll give that to you. And if you're not born with it, you can't create it. It's just impossible. And you can go out and be an act, but you may just be average. You may not. But Eddie, he said to me, he said, you're born with this stuff. And it's true. So I'm just thrilled that he saw it in me and took me under his wing and worked with me all the time.
Well, that is a cool story. Well, he was. I think I told you before when we visited once that I didn't know him professionally, but I'd have dinner with he and his wife quite often. We all met at this little cafe there in Brentwood, Tennessee. And one of the funniest things was that, and he was a very conservative guy. I mean, he owned most of Brentwood. A lot of people don't know what great businessman he was, but they drove an older Buick. But one night we were having dinner and we're talking about how good the little restaurant was. It was a little meet and three place. And his wife said, you know, this place is just perfect. She said the only thing they need to do is to add valet parking, and then just laughed. They were just down to earth, good folks. But
they are. And you know, talking about him owning Brentwood, he did. I mean, Brentwood wouldn't even have been Brentwood if it hadn't been Eddie Arnold that caused that. And how that happened was, he had his first number one hit, and he went home, and he told Sally, his wife, he said, Sally, we've had a number one hit. I think we should buy some land because we'll never have another. Well, he done that over and over and over, kept going to Sally and saying that we might not never have another, and buying more land. And the folks up at the Grand Ole Opry got to thinking he was crazy for buying all that land south of Nashville, because it wasn't nothing but just hills and woods.
Right.
And lo and behold, if it didn't turn out to be, well, you can see what it is, one of the richest districts in Tennessee.
And the country.
That's right.
Beautiful
place. He done quite well off of that.
Well, he did, but just a neat guy. Well, there's another song we want to do real quick, and it's one called Making Hay. And I tell you what, I thought I could hear a little Jerry Lee Lewis in this song. What's the story on this one?
Yeah, this is so fun, this one.
Bobby Jean always wanted to write a song that was a boogie, you know, and that really boogie with a piano. And I thought, you know, when you're making hay, I don't know, to all you people out there, that don't know anything about baling hay and making hay, sometimes you just got a window. You know that front's coming in, so you got a window. You got 3 days. Cut it, let it dry, hope it gets done in time, cures up, and get it baled. So you ain't got no time to waste. Get after it. And I got to say, you know, if I was a rascal, and I kind of am sometimes, and I had this little gal cross the way, and she wanted to see me right quick, I'd just saddle my horse and cut across shorty. I wouldn't go around a long way. And I thought, boy, there ain't no time to waste when she's on the phone calling you. You know, you get on over there. So I thought, right, here's my song. We're going to boogie across that big old wide open space.
Oh, wow. Well, let's hear Making Hay, and you guys can decide what kind of hay that you're making, what he's talking about. Anyway. All right. We're going to come back and talk more with Royal Wade Kimes on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
She said, I got it in the oven, honey, come on over, give it a try. Anything can happen, you might get another surprise. And I saddled up my horse and I cut straight across. You can't waste a day when you're making hay. Well, I'm a mighty lucky man, got a woman wants to take care of me. I hear the ladies in the kitchen, but she said there's more to this recipe. I hear she loves me like a devil, and she takes care of all of my needs. And I saddled up my horse, and I cut straight across. You can't waste a day when you're making hay.
You use yourself as well. Tell me how you kind of earned the handle of Gentleman Outlaw.
Well, one thing, I came from outlaw background anyway, but I was recording off of Warner Brothers and had about three really good hits off there. Another Man's Sky with a Monster, and then Leave My Mom Out of This, and then another one followed that one up, and it was the top 40. And so then when we left there, I thought, you know what, I'm going to start my own record label, and I'm going to cut cowboy country music, and we're going to watch what happens here. We're going to do this. And so, of course, Nashville wrote me off. They said, you know, he ain't going to make it. He's fixing to sink his ship, because I was offered another deal by Sony Records, and I turned it down. And because I knew what I wanted to do, and I felt I knew what they wanted to do. So I did. I struck out to do it, and I formed this record label by myself, stuck me 5,000 records in a truck, and took off. And went all the way to Laramie, Wyoming, and back. And on my way back, I get this phone call from Disney, Doug Howard, the vice president. He said, "Wade, where you at?" I said, "I'm in St. Louis, heading back to Nashville." He said, "When you get in, would you come see me?" I said, "Yeah, what's up?" He said, "I just want to see you." So I get back there, and he said, "I want to know how you're doing this." I said, "What?" He said, "Your records." He said, "They're everywhere." I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Because my recording artists are coming in here, and they're on the road, and when they stop at a joint, don't matter where they stop at, there's your records." And I said, "Well, I put my overalls, and I went to work. I put them on." And I said, "I put them records all the way to on 40 all the way out to Laramie, and I'm 70 coming back." And I had 5,000 records all the time I got back. And so anyway, long story short, then True West Magazine finally did a story. They wanted to do a story on me about me being taking the Outlaw Road and bucking Nashville, because that's what it took. I had to buck them on every front. And I'm talking radio, everything. I had to buck them. And I knew it was going to be a fight. It was like David and Goliath is what it was. But I was determined. In fact, I was almost too determined. And to the point I would sacrifice everything to beat them. And that's not a good place for anyone to be, and I don't advise anybody to do that because I could have lost my little wife. I was so driven and so determined that I would win this war. And so I went, and I won. I did beat them. And True West Magazine did an article on me, and boy, everybody picked up on that. And I'm talking, everybody was calling me, and I was getting all kinds of emails and just different things. And then James Arnaz of Gunsmoke wrote me a letter. And in that letter, he said, "I want to congratulate you for beating the system." He said, I know what that took. He said, "I was once in the entertainment business, and I know what kind of a thing that is." And, I mean, I've kept that letter. I mean, I'll keep it forever. But he knew what that undertaking was. And if I hadn't been so driven and so determined and had the talent to get there once I was there, thanks to Eddie Arnold, I probably still might not have succeeded, but I was able to make it happen. The fans started catching on. The industry started catching on. They first called me the Outlaw of Nashville. Well, then they went to call me the Gentleman Outlaw because I have, you know, I try to treat everybody decently and right. I don't try to be an artist that's unapproachable. I want you to be able to talk to me or shake my hand, touch me or whatever. I mean, I want to talk to you. And that's the way Mr. Arnold was. I just want to be me, and at the same time, I have this outlaw aura about me, and that's just the way I was born in it. So people just started calling me the Gentleman Outlaw, and it just caught on.
Well, that's such a great story, and I know that you were a big fan of Jim Arnaz's as well, and I recall chatting with you and getting his autobiography signed over to you by Jim and his wife, mm-hmm. Janet. And it, mm-hmm. you know, I remember chatting with you all those many years ago, and, you know, you mm-hmm. just clearly have lived the destiny that was chosen for you and have done it with such style and grace. It's marvelous to see. This new CD is so much fun because, you know what? It's country the way we're looking for country.
Yeah, it's, you know, I tell you what it is, Bobby Jean. It's cowboy country.
Yeah, it's cowboy country.
And it's what it is. It's cowboy country. But that's what all this music is. That's that style. Western music is, it's really cowboy country. It's because country music didn't happen until after this happened. I mean, the Western
right.
music,
mm-hmm.
you know, just what we call straight Western type music, Gene Autry and all that. That happened before there was really country. And then along came, well, okay, let's change it just a little bit. Let's make this happen. And then, of course, I don't know if you know this or not, but Hank Williams was put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because
mm-hmm.
that's where that derived mm-hmm. from, was actually his music's what it where it came from. And nobody even knows that, but at least most people don't. But
wow.
our music is cowboy country, and that's what I call it. And I think it's going to rise above everything else within the next few years.
Well, there's a desire for a lot of people to kind of get away from the contemporary. I mean, you know, and there's a place for all of it. But when people talk about Nashville, a lot of times they talk about if you don't fit the format, if you don't fit in that formula, then there's no room for you. And because of so many independent artists and labels and because of technology and the internet today, there's room for all of that out there, but there's a real desire for a lot of people to come back to more of the traditional type sounds. And
I hope they keep doing that in Nashville because they're just growing a bigger audience for us.
Yeah, yeah,
uh-huh.
Well, and for Nashville as well. Well, there's another song that we want to get to. There's a lot of music that we want to share and a lot more to talk about with Royal Wade Kimes. But this is one called "Cut the Line." You want to tell us anything about this one?
Yeah, that's that. You know, I almost got a vision with that song because I've played so many places where there'd be this one little old gal, she'd just stand out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but you do. And I just think, you know, there's a line from out the door to talk to this old gal, and nobody can. And if I'm going to talk to her, I'm going to have to cut the line here somewhere. And I may get a whipping in doing it, but we're going to do it. So I thought, you know, I've seen that before, and here we are. We're inside this big dance hall. In my mind, I played in 5,000 seaters, you know, dance halls, and so in my mind, it was 2,500 people in there, and this line was coming out the door, and he cuts the line.
All right, well, let's listen to Cut the Line, and it made me think of one of my experiences, but I won't tell that on this show. But maybe during a break or something I might. But anyway, this is Cut the Line. Yeah, this is Cut the Line by Royal Wade Kimes on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I see you, you're with a friend. There's always someone waiting in the shadows. I'm standing in a line that has no end. But will I talk to you? The Lord only knows. Hope you don't mind, I cut the line. Every cowboy in here wants your time. I'd like to dance away the night and wake up in the morning holding you tight. I hope you don't mind, I cut the line. Cause every cowboy in here wants your time. If I could live my life looking at you, I'd never know a day I'd call lonely. Your love would chase away all my blues. I dedicate myself to loving you only. I hope you don't mind, I cut the line. Every cowboy in here wants your time. I'd like to dance away the night and wake up in the morning holding you tight. I hope you don't mind, I cut the line. 'Cause every cowboy in here wants your time. I hope you don't mind, I cut the line. 'Cause every cowboy in here wants your time.
Some of you cowboys out there can relate to that. I did. But great song. Great, great song.
Well, and us ladies, we always want to be that, you know, hope that we'll that gal that someone will cut the line for, you know?
Well, Bob Jean, you don't got to worry about it. I'd cut the line on you anytime.
There we go. There we go.
Okay, now, let's see, now, what's your address again? Hey, I do have another question for you because I love talking to songwriters. So this is with your songwriting hat on now. Can you share a little bit about your process? I know oftentimes you talk about, you know, the song just comes to you through a vision or almost, you know, automatic writing, but you're such a fabulous songwriter. Tell us a little bit about that process.
Well, usually words and music both come to me on a song, usually at the same time. Once in a while, it's the melody might come first, or I'll get a hook line and I'll set it aside thinking, okay, when the melody comes down the line, I know it's for it. And I do it that way as well. But I, you know, my process, you have a good process, but the thing that amateurs usually make a mistake on, so if you're out there listening, you're trying to be a songwriter, most of the time they write too long a song. You want to keep your songs 2:30 to 3 minutes long, and not for radio, for the listener. And if it's a good song and you've got it 3 minutes long, you didn't tire them out with it. And if you can't say what you need to say, verse, chorus, out, then you probably aren't cut out to write songs anyway. You know, you need to be able to get to that hook line quick. That's one of your processes, is get to that hook line, which is a title. And that's one of the things I do. So, you know, I try to, when a hook comes to me, and when I say a hook, it ain't a hook unless it's really hooking you. You know, I cut the line. That's a hook. You know, you want to know what he's cutting the line on.
Right.
And it's a question. You know, what's that sucker talking about? I want to know. And so then when you get in there, you say, wow, man, did he turn that around, you know? And so you got to turn around on him, surprise him, but get your hook quick. Pam Lewis, who managed Garth for some years, she said to me one day that I get to the hook quicker than anybody in town. And I probably do. There's no, you know, and have a good opening line, but get to that hook and don't get your song too long. That's the first cardinal sins that most guys do that don't know how to write professionally. But it takes a little while to get your craft, get it honed down there. And because I've been writing for years, thought I was a songwriter. I went to Nashville and I found I didn't know nothing. I just had kind of the deal. But at least Bob Dole told me, who managed Garth full time, he said, you know, and he managed me too, he said, you know, he said, you've got to have the battle won as a songwriter. I said, how's that? He said, because you've got the hooks. Mm-hmm. So have a good hook. Get your hook quick. Keep your song short. That's something I would tell everybody. I'm going to do a seminar here in the Fort Smith, Arkansas area. I'm up here on the mountain right now at the trail riding concert. And I'm going to do a seminar here and bring in, because a lot of songwriters in this area, and I'm going to bring them in, and I'm going to spend a day or 2 days with them. When they get through, they're going to know in 2 days what it took me 10 years to learn.
That's fabulous.
And I'm going to really try to get them, because especially if they're cowboy acts, this cowboy country act, I want those kids to come in here and the Western genre, the cowboy, because I want to help them. I hear so many songs they do that are too long, or they didn't get to that hook quick, they didn't do this or did that. So many things that you can tell them.
That's fantastic. And so you'll need to let us know when you're doing that. We need to be posting that out on various Facebook pages and all to all the songwriters out there when you are set to do that.
Okay, I will do that. I just see the need so much. I have, Bob Jean, I have people calling me, I can't tell you how many times a week, from all parts of the United States. It'll either be the father, or it'll be the act itself, or the writer itself, and father and mother, or somebody, and they want me to help them with their child or their kid, which is maybe 20 years old, you know, or 21 or whatever, and I saw so many of them this last year especially, from Michigan to wherever, and I thought, okay, I need to do a seminar and bring these people in and teach these people how to do this. Because you can't just tell them over the phone, but I can listen to your song immediately and tell you which direction you're going and how to correct that. So, you know, and I went there in 83, 1983 is when I went to Nashville. I went to work for Lord of the Land first, and boy, I tell you, after a little while, I started writing with some great songwriters. And I learned the craft, and I'll never forget when the light kicked on. I'd already been writing 10 or 15 years, you know, I followed it down. I remember when the bulb just kicked on, oh, I got it. I see what I'm doing. So, went to writing songs then.
Gosh. Well, you know, whatever people want to say about Nashville, we have great musicians, we have great songwriters, and of course we have great studios to record in down here. So Nashville can be tough, but it can also be a great school, can it?
Yes, it can. It's you know, if you go there and you don't give yourself 5 years to make it, a lot of people go to Nashville and say, I'm going to give it 5 years. Well, you're not going to make it. I tell you right now, if you tell yourself you're going to give it 5 years, you're going to be one in a million or a trillion that's going to make it. You got to go out there and be ready to do it and sell out to it. And after maybe 10 years, if you hadn't done it as a songwriter or whatever it is you're doing, you will have made a niche somewhere in the business, and that's going to be, you're going to find out that that was your niche, not songwriting. But if you're going to go out there and try to be a songwriter, that's a place to learn. The only thing I worry about, Gary, at all, a little bit about right now, is that a lot of the songwriters, Bobby Braddock, those guys who wrote Tomorrow Never Comes, they're only country songwriters, a lot of those guys aren't there no more. And we've got writers that are writing formulated songs. And those formulators are this: verse, chorus, bridge, and back to the chorus. Every song, I mean, they feel like they got to have a bridge. Well, you don't put a bridge in a song unless that song absolutely needs it. And if it does need it, it better say something. It better say almost more than the whole song said. And so a lot of people get caught up in that because it's formulated. And so that's why a lot of songs sound alike when you hear them on the radio, contemporary country pop.
Right.
They sound alike because they're formulated. And you know, they started when Garth Brooks hit and Shania Twain and all those people, they started trying to find other acts that sound like them. Where back in the day of Webb Pierce and Don Gibson and all those guys, they wanted an act that didn't sound nothing like those guys. Things change. Nothing that constant has changed, but yeah, that's a good place to learn how to do it, and there's still some good writers there, so go after it.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna listen to another song from your CD, Shadows of Time, and this is one you didn't write, but it's one that's been recorded by a lot of folks, and you've got a different twist to this. And how did you pick Wayward Wind to be part of this CD?
Well, when I was a little boy, I loved that song. I just loved it. And I always said, if I ever become a recording artist, I'm going to cut that song if time ever comes that I can do it. And all these years I've been cutting records, and I thought, well, I ain't never going to get to cut that song. So this project came up, and I told my producers, I said, look, this is my opportunity to cut Wayward Wind. And I said, I want to bring in my guys and one of the Jordanaires and back this song up. And I want to give it that feeling, that emotional feeling. I want the reflection in the voice. I'm just going to sing it as naturally as I can sing it, and I want those guys behind me. And I said, I think we're going to have something very dynamic, and I think we did.
This is a great song. It's one that you've heard before, but not like this, and it's Wayward Wind. When we come back, we're going to kind of change hats a little bit. We're going to talk about the 10th annual Mount Royal Trail Ride that's taking place in Arkansas right now. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. We'll be right back to talk more with Royal Wade Kimes.
I spent my younger days. I
guess that sound of that old outbound made me a slave to my wandering ways. Oh, the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind,
restless wind
that yearns to wander, and I was born the next of kin, the next of kin. Gal in a border town vowed we'd never part. I've done my best to settle down, but now she's alone with a broken heart. Oh, the wayward wind,
wayward wind
is a restless wind.
Restless wind,
they yearns to wander, and I was born the next of kin, the next of kin
to the wayward wind.
Wind. And when I was listening to that, Bobby, I was thinking about what you said in the introduction about a voice as smooth as Kentucky bourbon.
Oh, I had to tell you, I just had to tell you very quickly that my husband Jim and I had the pleasure of hearing Royal Wade Kimes perform in a very intimate setting. It was actually at the Rock Mount Ranch where their store in Denver, and this was, oh gosh, Royal Wade, this must have been 96 or 95 or something like that.
Yeah, about 97.
And, okay, 97. And we were absolutely mesmerized. It was a party. I mean, it was a wonderful gathering that they do every year in January as part of the WESA trade show, and it's just a hot spot, fabulous place. And but it wasn't a concert, you know. I mean, he was kind of doing ambiance music. And Jim and I were absolutely didn't move. We were like, who is this?
Yeah.
And and then we also got to see you perform a kind of a showcase, I think, at Four Winds Trading or another place, and that's when we chatted. Mm-hmm. And we've been following you ever since. And he has a voice. There are others, Don Edwards, for instance, too, that I say, you know, could wake me in the morning and stay with me all day. That is the voice I fall in love with.
And Jim doesn't have anything to say about that, I guess. So that's.
Well, he'll just be the first to say he can't carry a tune, he can't yodel, and you know, and it's okay. I can go ahead and enjoy that music.
Oh wow! Yeah. Wow! Hey, well, let's talk about the 10th annual Mount Royal Trail Ride and some of the things that are going on up there. And first of all, Wade, tell us where this is taking place.
Well, it's north of Fort Smith, Arkansas. It's right off of I-49 going north to Fayetteville, and take the Chester exit, and you go through Chester, turn across railroad tracks, and just follow the signs that take you to the top of the mountain. It's about 2,000 feet elevation when you get up there, and it's beautiful. When you get to the top where the camp is, you can look out across to the west, and you can see about 80 miles across there and see Oklahoma and everything.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
It's beautiful. And it's just the most beautiful thing you ever saw.
And this is your 10th year for doing this, what is it that people can do and see, and what are the activities that are going on with part of this?
Well, it's you know, we leave out of the morning with the trail ride, Friday and Saturday both. We left this morning on a ride. We ride Wednesday and Thursday, and those are short rides. And then Friday and Saturday, I let it ride this morning early. And Friday and Saturday, we ride longer rides, and they're pretty good rides. I mean, big country, beautiful country, big country, rough country, some of it. It's not one of them rides that you're going to be scared to death on, but it's big country. And we take that ride and get back about probably leave early in the morning, get back about 1 o'clock and have lunch. And for Friday night, we'll have a bluegrass band there that's going to play for entertainment. And then Saturday night, we have Kristen Harris, who is a top female vocalist in the cowboy country with Western Yonder. And she's going to open for me. And then I'm going to come on and do our show, a big blowout finale. This 10th anniversary thing is going to be, it's going to be phenomenal. I just can't wait to get, I mean, it's so much excitement up here. We also have a CSI pad lady here who owns a company for CSI pads, top pad company in the country, does a lot of sport horses and that kind of thing. You know, roping horses and that kind of thing for PRCA. And she's here. We're going to build a pad called the Gentleman Outlaw. And
wow.
It's going to be, it's going to be a trail riding pad. And so she'll be here. And I suspect next year we're going to have my hat endorser here, Buckaroo Hatters. He's going to be here. He would have been here this year, but he's got such a large order of hats that has to be done by a certain time. He couldn't be here. And I hate that, but at the same time, I'm glad for him. But, you know, and then we have dinners. We actually have Golden Corral catering our dinners Friday, Saturday night. And you talk about upscaling it. We are upscaling it, and these people are going to be – it's going to blow them out. The general public come into the concert, they can have dinner as well. And it's just going to be a blast for everyone. And we understand that people are coming from about 15 or 20 different states, from Montana, from Wisconsin, Virginia, California, everywhere. I mean, they're just coming in from everywhere, because here's the deal. This year, to get into the concert, you either had to be a Facebook fan of mine, be a local, or have supported this show over the last 9 years.
Wow.
If you've done that, you get into the concert. And let me tell you what, we're going to have, I don't know where we're going to seat everybody, but that's a good problem to have.
That is a good problem to have. Good problem to have. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to do one song from Kristen Harris that's opening for you. And Kristen's been with us quite a few times on the show. But for folks that maybe are tuning in and have never heard Kristen, she's going to open for Royal Wade on Saturday night, and we'll talk a little bit more about the concert itself. And when we come back, I want to talk about the charity that's benefiting from all this. So you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. We're talking with Royal Wade Kimes, and this is Kristen Harris, who will be there on Saturday night with him, and her song, Yodeling Fever.
I think the yodeling bug bit me. My voice has gone all wrong, you see. I can't talk, can't say hello. All I can say is, hey-o, it must be the yodeling fever. I've got it now, there's nothing I can do. It must be the yodeling fever. La-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la- drives me on that yodeling fever. Why don't you learn to yodel too? It with a western twist, a sound that you just can't resist when you've got that yodeling fever. A yodel's great to bring a smile if you do it right in the cowboy style on the Texas trail where the west is wild. Go and spread that yodeling fever. It must be the yodeling fever. I've got it now, there's nothing I can do. It must be the yodeling fever. Lay hey, yodel-o-do. Hi,
think of any place I'd rather be on Saturday night than up there to see this concert. I mean, can you imagine Kristen Harris with her energy doing this and then making hay with Royal Wade Kimes?
Oh, it's going to be a fantastic show.
Oh, gosh.
Well, it'll be fun.
Let me ask this, Wade. Is there still time for people to get tickets for the concert?
Yeah. They will. Yeah, if they're FB fans and local and they're supporting the show, they can be there sure again.
All right.
They can come to the gate, or they can get tickets at, if you're here, you can get tickets at the Chester Cafe down in the valley and the Coleman Pharmacy and the Clearinghouse, because part of the proceeds go to the kids, backpacks for kids who have nothing to eat from Monday, like from Friday to Monday. And so the Clearinghouse, they sell tickets. Coleman Pharmacy is big on selling tickets for us there in Alma, Arkansas. And then Chester, the Chester Cafe, which is one of the best eating places in the country, and they sell tickets. And then you can get them at the gate.
Okay. All right. So folks can still get tickets for the Saturday night concert, and I think that starts at 6 o'clock. And, and as I said, where would you rather be on a Saturday night than catching this show? It's going to be a lot of fun good cause.
They do need to I don't know how long these tickets are going to last. So we are selling a lot of tickets, but they do need to get in here and get after them if they're going to get them, because I think this show will sell out. It's looking like it.
Well, that's great. That is great. Well, as far as the trail ride, how did that get started?
About 11 years ago, I was going across Nebraska on my bus, and I hadn't seen nothing for about 2 hours but just prairie, and I topped over this hill, and there were 15,000 people standing there waiting for me to give a concert.
Oh, wow.
And when I saw that, I mean, out in the middle of an open field, and there wasn't nothing else out there, just campers where they were staying when I got there. So we did the show, and I talked to the promoter about it, and I said, these people, where'd they come from? I mean, my goodness, And he said, all over. He said, they come, I've promoted it, and I learned that if you promote something well enough, they'll show up if they like you. And so I told the boys going back on the bus, I said, you know what? I know where there's another place at that could use this, but I need a charity that it could be for, that we could put part of the proceeds to that.
Right.
And that was back in my home area up in the mountains. And I also thought, I know these mountains and horses and music go together, and I'm going to combine them and make this thing happen. So I started cutting out trails and getting them ready to go, and I opened up the old 1800s wagon road and the Cole Younger Pass and all that stuff.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow. And it was born the following year then?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we got after it. We got after it.
Well, and I've got to ask this question because we've got some folks that may be listening that may say, well, dadgummit, I wish I'd known about this earlier. But is there still time for folks to come and maybe participate in the trail ride itself? Or are they too late?
If they get here by Friday morning, 6 o'clock, they could make it. Or they could do a 1 day ride, I guess, if they got here Friday evening. But they need to either get here this tonight or in the morning by 6 o'clock, because we're going to leave out by 8 o'clock.
Okay. All right.
So,
well, we'll have to start talking about this earlier next year.
Well, we sure can.
That would work. That would work. So we got another song that we want to do, and this one is one called "Back in Tombstone." There's just so you've got so much music that's just so good. It is so hard to just go through and say, "Well, let's use this for the show." You know, it's like, but you know, you're kind of special too because normally we don't do a show that just features one artist and one guest, and so this is kind of cool.
Appreciate that.
But "Back in Tombstone," tell us about this song.
Well, I cut that song about 5, 6, 7 years ago, and I didn't feel like I hooked it, and it just didn't come alive for me, and I was just going to can it. I wasn't ever going to put it out, and boy, I tell you, my wife, my producer jumped on me every year when I was cutting this album. They said, "You going to do a tombstone?" I said, "No, I'm not doing a tombstone." And finally, I just got enough heat from them. They said, "You know, you need to do this song because this is a good song." So we went back in and cut it again. And this time I got the right beat, the right everything I wanted, and it made me hook it. You know, I really felt like I was on top of it on this one. So, to me, this song, though it's really a cowboy theme, it to me has that real good mix of country with the cowboy theme to it. To me, like a almost like a Waylon Jennings guitar. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
it's just a cool song. And I could see this guy in this prison wagon. Riding through Tombstone, he sees that gal standing on that corner over there, and she looks right in his eyes, and that's all he needed to survive.
All right. Well, let's go back in Tombstone with Royal Wade Kimes. We'll be right back. Almost see myself in that situation. Glad I haven't.
How many times?
Yeah.
How many times, Gary?
I'm not going to say. I'm not going there. But anyway.
I think we need to set up another interview.
Yeah, we'll interview Gary this time.
Yeah, there you go, Royal Wade.
Gosh. I'm glad we don't get all of this in between music chatter that's broadcast. That wouldn't be a good thing, probably. But, anyway. Bobby, you were going to ask some questions about the event, the charity, I think.
Sure. Railway, tell us a little bit about this group that you're raising money for.
Well, it's called the Clearinghouse, and they do all kinds of things. But one of them is they have this Backpacks for Children, and they feed somewhere around 2,800 kids year-round that have nothing to eat in the eastern Oklahoma, western Arkansas area. It's 75 schools, and these little kids, boys and girls, have nothing to eat when they get on that bus till they get back Monday. So I help them raise money to feed these kids, and I'm telling you, it takes a lot of money. I'm pitiful at what we're able to raise compared to what it takes to do it. For a year. But anyway, these kids don't have anything to eat. So we put a little backpack on, they go home, they can eat, and they're not hungry when they come back Monday, and they can eat at school. And that's why, and I'll tell you something else about it. They don't spend any money but on them kids. And that was very important to me. If I want to give money to a charity, I want to make sure that that's going to them kids. And this bunch, they're awesome. And so about 2,800 kids is what they're feeding.
No, that's great. That is a great project. That is a great project. You know, and a lot of times we just don't think about the fact that kids that are on school lunch programs and now mm-hmm. breakfast programs, they're fine 5 days a week, but not mm-hmm. too much, you know, when they have that weekend to go through. So this is a great, great program.
Yeah, it is. And it's just a shame that it's like that. I mean, you know, America is the greatest country on earth, and we shouldn't have any kids hungry, but we do.
Well, yeah. We do.
So we want everybody that can get a ticket, go get a ticket, and mm-hmm. Get your horse up there and take that ride and support such a great program. It's really wonderful. And you do it every year about this same time, right?
Yeah, it's the last week of September, first week of October. Every year.
Okay. So you can mark it on your calendar now so you don't miss out for next
mm-hmm.
year.
Yeah. They should come because it's, you know, it's a good event. I mean, you just can't imagine the fun, but it takes a lot. It's not done in a week or two. We start to work on this thing about February is when we start back to work on it, and we work on it till we get here.
Well, that's great.
Tell our listeners where they can find out more about the ride and your music and your blog and all of that. Where do they go?
Well, if you want to find out about the ride, you can go to royalwadekimes.com. But if you want to buy music, on my front page of my website, it shows you all the places that you can buy my music. They're listed there. It's all major.coms, and then there's different stores that have it as well. But, you know, iTunes, I sell a lot of records at iTunes. I sell a lot of records at CD Baby and places like that. I really like iTunes and CD Baby the best because they give you more. The artist and the writer and the publisher actually can get more money from those two than they can most of the others, but it's a good outfit. And then I got the brick and mortar stores, the one stop stores that we do as well, and they do well for us.
Well, that is great. Okay. Well, I'm gonna tell you, get his music. You're gonna love it. I mean, you can tell that from listening to the show today, but he's got more CDs out there that you're gonna enjoy just as much, and so you wanna connect with Royal Wade, like him on Facebook, and you got a great website. A lot of great information on the website and some tremendous video out there. I mean, you know, we didn't talk about Dixie Burns. We'll have to talk about that sometime again.
Or his book. And now you're writing books. We need another show.
We need another show.
Westerns out there. Yeah, I guess so. Well, Maybe I got too much going on. So, yeah, we'll do it.
All right. Well, listen, I know that I promised you we wouldn't keep you so long, and I lied. We have. And you've got a ride that's going on, so you're up there now. You were out on a ride this morning, and I guess you have another one later today. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to be with us and to share information about you and to share your music and about this great event that's going on right now just outside of Chester, Arkansas. And we're going to close the show out with a song called Cowboy Dreaming. And you want to tell us anything about this one?
Yeah, that song was written by South Dakota cowboy, Greg. And I got to tell you, when he sent me this song, I went through his album and I was kicking them through, you know, pretty fast because I was working on another project there at the on the computer, and that song stopped me, and I kicked it back. I listened to it again. I listened to that thing five times back to back, and I thought, man, this guy has written my life because I feel like I'm at the end of the trail, and I can see it because part of my trail was where I was at and what I needed to do. And we can talk about that sometime later on, but I did it. And that song came at the same time that I was in the middle of all this, and I thought, I got to cut this thing. But it wasn't quite like I wanted it. You know, I needed to make a few changes, and I called him up. I called Greg, his little songwriter out of South Dakota, I say, and I called him, and I said, look, I said, you're almost a songwriter. He said, I am? I mean, he was almost speechless because I called him, you know. And I said, yeah, you are. I said, you're almost a songwriter. I said, and I think I can help you just a little bit, and you will be if you let me. And he said, yeah, oh, yeah, man. Cause, you know, so I helped him out there a little bit, and I said, now, look, I want to change and fix some things in this song because this is me. This is, you thought I wrote it. I said, it's just, you know, it's just so dead on me. I said, I don't want any writers. I don't want any publishing. I'm not going to do that much to it to change it, but just enough to make it work. And I said, are you okay with that? And he said, go for it. So I cut the song, and I feel like it's one of the best songs on the album.
Yeah, I really, really, really like this song, and really why I chose it to be the song we close the segment out with. But we're going to listen to Cowboy Dreamin'. And Royal Wade, again, thank you for being with us. Give our little sweet friend Kristen Harris a big hug for us when you see her this weekend.
Yes, please do.
and Bobby too. And we look forward to having you back again. Thank you so much.
All right. I'd love to come back. See you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. And we're going to listen to Cowboy Dreaming by Royal Wade Kime. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Bobby Jean Bell, and we'll kind of share some good information for you on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Up in the mountains, out on the plains, an old creaking saddle matches my pain. I'm bitten, I'm broken, but I'll never flinch. Old end, and I think this life is a sin. Cowboy dreaming like I do each night. The stars are all gleaming. This life is so bright. But there is a moment, where has it all gone? I see the end of the trail I wish would go on. I smelled burnt coffee, and I feel the dew. I have your love letters, I kept that of you. You like the city, and now I can see wide open spaces were just for me. I'm cowboy dreaming like I do each night. The stars are all gleaming. This life is so bright. But there is a moment, where has it all gone? I see the end of the trail I wish would go on. I see the end of the trail I'm riding on. I see the end of the trail I wish would go on.
Cowboy Dreaming from his CD, Shadows of Time. And great guest today, wasn't he, Bobby?
Oh, that was way too much fun. What a great way to kick off October.
Yeah. Can you believe we're already in October? I mean, this is a fast year. I mean, we're into the last quarter. And gosh, just time flies. But we're having fun, and we've got a great lineup of guests really through the rest of the year. Let's go ahead and tell folks who are going to be with us next Thursday.
Next Thursday, Eli Barcy joins us. And Eli Barcy is a wonderful singer, songwriter, recording artist, performer, hails from Canada, but gets down and travels through the States fairly regularly. She's such a talented gal and always, always fun to catch up with. And then we have on October 15th, we'll just go one more show in advance, really hot, new, wonderful swing act, Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas. And I'm really looking forward to meeting her.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Eli is always such a sweet gal. She's a sweet, sweet gal. And next week we'll be joined by Steve Edwards, and he's a mule guy, and out in Arizona, but he specializes in mules and trail riding and does a lot of clinics around the country. So Steve Edwards will be joining us from Arizona for that show. And then on the 15th, when we have Susie Blue on, we're going to be visiting with Reggie Little, and there is a chuck wagon race that's going to be taking place later in October at Loretta Lynn's Ranch. And there's a little connection there with Royal Wade.
Yeah.
He worked down at Loretta Lynn's for a while. So that's going to be a lot of fun. These chuck wagon races are exciting and a lot of activities, and we'll be talking about that on the 15th as well. Sunday on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, her special guest is going to be Rusty Ryerson. Rusty was with us on the Campfire Cafe a few weeks ago, and has a great gospel album, and so he'll be sharing that with Belinda and visiting with her. And then on Tuesday on Saddle Up America, we've got Jim McGarvey with Backcountry Horsemen of America that's joining us. And Backcountry Horseman does a lot of things, both legislatively and boots on the ground, to help keep our trails open for trail riders and horse people. We're going to kind of add in a new segment with that. It's going to be Backcountry Horseman in action. And so we're going to be talking with people that are out actually doing things on the trails to help keep those available for horse riders all across the United States. So a lot of great shows that are coming up. And we have to remind folks that Our show and all of Equestrian Legacy Radio shows are made possible by our sponsors in the general store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle. And you can find them all in the general store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And we are getting ready to open up the Christmas shop. And you can do your Christmas shopping online with the great merchants that you'll find in the Christmas shop. And we'll be opening that up in just a couple of days. But, you know, can you believe we're just not that far away from Christmas, Bobby?
Oh, I know. I mean, 90 days from now is New Year's, I think, right?
we're getting close. Yeah.
It's amazing how fast this year is going. Oh, my goodness.
it really is. But anyway, a lot of exciting things that are going on. So be sure and visit with our sponsors. And you can find those all on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And do some shopping. Most people shop online today, and so it's an easy and convenient way to do that. And you can just pick out everything that you want, from clothes and jewelry and tack and more, all to make shopping easy as we're going into this holiday season. So visit them at equestrianlegacy.net. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
Well, I found this fun quote: life is too short to deal with liars, cheats, and users. Saddle up and leave it behind ya.
Those are good words to close with. And also, we just like to remind you that if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net. And we look forward to being with Bobby next Thursday on the Campfire Cafe. Tell your friends about us. And we remind you that you can go back and listen to all of the shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio at our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And we're going to close with a song from some good friends of ours, Joey and Rory, in A Cowboy's Dream. And thank you for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
You can ride 100 miles and not see one fish. And you can drink from the rivers and the streams. And you can sleep under the stars, no matter where you are, in a cowboy's dream. You can turn the radio on in your truck, on the station here, Chris LeDoux sings. And every road that you drive down leads you further from a town in a cowboy's dream. And everybody's got a horse and a good rope. And everybody's wearing boots, spurs, and jeans. When a lady passes by, oh, I wish life was what it seems in a cowboy's dream. You can take a man's handshake as his solemn vow. When he says I do, that's just what he means. The only time that he might cry is when his old cow pup dies in a cowboy's dream. And everybody's got a horse and a good rope. And everybody's wearing boots, spurs, and jeans. And men tip their hats with pride when a lady passes by. Oh, I wish life was can ride 100 miles and not see one film.